The following shiur has been presented by Rav Chaim Weg, Rosh Kollel of the Scranton Community Kollel, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center.
Yuma Daf Pei Beis. The Mishnah on Daf Pei Beis teaches us that a chayle sheyesh bei sakana on Yom Kippur is not mechuyiv to fast on Yom Kippur. The Mishnah discusses how exactly do we ascertain that there is a sakana to this particular patient, but I'll call upon him, once we know for sure that there is a sakana, then it is usher for this patient to fast on Yom Kippur. And lahalacha we hold that we try to see if we can get away with giving him just pachas mikashir, that he should go ahead and each achila that he does should be less than the shear of a keseves hagasa in kedei achilas pras. So it should not be a chiv karas that we're pushing away. Rather, that we're pushing away the iser of chatzi shear, which is also in atayah. We can't push away the iser of chatzi shear unless the particular person is a chayla sheyesh by sakana, or there's some other chashash of sakana. We hold the chatzi shir as awesome in atayra. But al koponim, since we'd rather do an iser kal than an iser chomer, we try to do chatzi shir before we are meichel this particular chayla a shir shalim. Reb Chaim Soloveitchik it's brought in the Briska Rav al Harambam and Hilchos Shvi'is Asar, held that there's a chilek between somebody who is today already a chayla sheyesh bei sakana, or somebody who is not a chayla sheyesh bei sakana, and we're feeding him because of pikuach nefesh, because we're scared if he fast, they will come to a sakana. If the person today is an established chayla sheyesh bei sakana, so then we push away Yom Kippur for him totally. His halacha would be, Rav Chaim held, that we treat him as on Yom Kippur as we treat him during the week. And therefore, we would give him a shir shalem, a complete shir. We would not sit there trying to figure out, does he need this keseves? Doesn't he need this keseves? But rather, we push away Yom Kippur for him totally. This, that we find the concept of hakal hakal, do the small iser before the big iser, to go ahead and give chatzi shir, not a shir shalem, when chatzi shir would suffice, that's dafka a person who as of yet is not a chayla sheyesh bei sakana. However, if we would not feed him on Yom Kippur, he would come lidei sakana. Therefore, machmas bikuach nefesh, if he's not yet a chayla, so then we would feed him pachos bikashir rather than a shir shalem. However, somebody who is already a chayla sheyesh bei sakana, so for him we push away Yom Kippur totally. And Rav Chaim was meir uba, like his shtikel teira. And whenever a shayla would come to him on Yom Kippur, so then he would decide. If the person's an established chayla, then he would let him eat normally. If the person was not an established chayla, but by not eating, he could come lidei sakana, he'd become weak, and a sakana could evolve, Rav Chaim would then go ahead and give that person a chatzi shir, give him less than a shir to see if that suffices. Lahalocha, we hold that even a person who is a established chayla sheyesh bei sakana, we give him chatzi shir if the doctors and the patient feel that that will suffice, and we do not give a shir shalem unless a chatzi shir would not suffice. The shayla that I wanted to discuss today is that it's only usur to eat and drink on Yom Kippur. For somebody to receive nutrition intravenously, there is no iser of Yom Kippur. Because when nutrition is provided intravenously, there is no hanos me'ayim, there's no pleasure in the stomach, there is no hanos garein, there is no pleasure in the mouth, and therefore that would not be a breaking of the tainus on Yom Kippur. The shayla is it recommended for a patient who knows either Erev Yom Kippur that he's going to have to eat on Yom Kippur to get himself hooked up to intravenous? And one could clear on Yom Kippur itself, even though to hook oneself up to intravenous, if one does it on Yom Kippur, would be malacha on Yom Kippur. And therefore, one might think, what's the difference? Whether I eat on Yom Kippur or I do malach on Yom Kippur. But first of all, hooking oneself up to intravenous only has to be done once. The achila, very likely, will have to be done many times. Second of all, the setting up the intravenous line can, generally speaking, be done with a guy, and the eating one has to do it oneself. Therefore, the question is, if we're trying to get away, lahalacha, with hakalakal, with the smallest chilul possible of Yom Kippur, are we required then to hook the patient up to intravenous in order that he should not end up eating on Yom Kippur? So, Meisha Feinstein Zatzal, in Igris Meisha, or Chaim Chelik Dalid, Simon Kuf Aleph, Ois Gimel, addresses the Shaila, as does Rishleim Zalman Orbach Zatzal in Halicha Shleima. And they both say that there is no requirement for a Chayla to go on to intravenous. However, they explain the reason slightly different from each other. Rav Meisha writes that since a chayla is a weak person, so anything that we do which is not going to give him as much strength as we possibly can very likely make him weaker, keep him weaker, and therefore it could be magdil the sakana. It could make the sakana greater. And therefore, Ramesha says that since the chayla will be more satiated if he eats normally, so it's better to feed him normally, because by doing that, we are giving him more strength, and we have to be scared that we are keeping him in the matzav of sakana, or attributing to a sakana, by feeding him only through intravenous. Rav Meisha goes on to say that even if the doctors feel that there is no damage whatsoever to the chayla to feeding him intravenously, but he says that the doctors can't prove it. It's only a hashara, it's an estimation, it's an educated guess, and it's very possible that in later generations we will discover that intravenous feeding is not as good as regular eating, and therefore it's not kedai to go ahead and feed the chayla intravenously. They could, chas v'shalom, end up with some sort of sakana. Now, once you say that, Dr. Meisha, we can make it into a halachic issue too. Because once there is no chiv to him to go into intravenous, and fakert, it's wrong for him to go into intravenous because of the sakana issue, then we have to worry that the actual injection which they're making into the chayla to set up the intravenous can be a chavola ba'atzmai, can be a situation where he is injuring himself. A person is not allowed to injure himself, stamazai, and therefore, Ramesha says that it'll be usar, both because of pikuach nefesh, and also because of the chavala, once one is not required to go ahead and to hook themselves up to intravenous. Rishleim Zalman Orbach Satzal says that in general there's a rule that a person is not required to do what Rishleim Zalman calls tachbulos, tricks, things which are not within the natural norm. When the Torah is matter something, one is allowed to rely on what the Torah is matter, and one does not have to go ahead and do tachbulos, do interesting ideas, things out of the normal realm of things, even if it's available today technologically, in order to not use heterim, which the Torah allows us to use. And he brings a very interesting example. Rishleim Zalman was asked that in order to avoid certain avodas during Shemitah, certain work in the field during Shemitah, there was a solution to avoid the avodas to go up in planes and to spray the fields with various sprays from planes, which would be very expensive. And that would allow less Aveda to be done in the field during Shemitah, Aveda which was allowed to be done during Shemitah, because it wasn't to preserve the fruits, but rather it was to preserve the trees for the next year. Rosh Chaim Zalman says that one is not required to go through the expense. The normal way of doing things is to go ahead and do the work manually in the field. The Torah was matter that work because it's considered to be letzayach the ilon, not letzayach the pears, and therefore there is no problem doing it in the way it was always done, even though we have available to us other means, but that's tachbulos. We're allowed to use the heterim of the Torah, and we do not have to devise newfangled technological methods not to use heterim, which the Torah allowed us to do. And Reb Shlomo Zalman wants to apply this even to calorie counting and taking nutrition stock of the various foods that the chayla eats. Reb Shlomo Zalman says that there's no requirement to go ahead and to figure out which foods have more nutritional value, to figure out if we're going to give a keseves of this, for example, we can avoid two kesevises of that, and because that's also, Reb Shlomo Zalman says, begedet tachbulos. We don't find any place that in the earlier generations it says that one should feed a chayla on Yom Kippur meat as opposed to vegetables, eggs as opposed to fruit. We seem, the Pesukim say that one feeds him what he needs to eat. And even though today we have very exact nutritional information that we know which foods are nutritious, which are non-nutritious, which gives calories, which gives vitamins, etc., one is not required to do that. One is allowed to feed the chayla according to what the person generally eats. If less than a shir at a time would suffice, that's good. If not, we go on to a shir shalem. One is not required to go ahead and to try to circumvent heterim, which the Torah allows us to do. And in Rishleim Zalman, in Hilchos Shleim, brings other examples where one is not required to go out of the natural, normal way of doing things in order not to use a heter, which the Torah allows us to use. Reb Shlomo Zalman writes that if someone wants to be machmir and count calories, so then it's tavei lo bracha. There is such an inyan. But in other cases where he was asked, for example, could a chayla in the hospital go on to intravenous? Reb Shlomo Zalman did not like the idea. He felt that especially in a hospital situation, where we're doing something which is not normally part of the hospital routine, we're endangering that patient and other patients because the hospital is set up with a certain routine which is established for the safety of all patients. Also, Reb Shlomo Zalman said that the same way when we have a pekuch nefesh shayla on Shabbos, we do it all yidei gedele Yisrael. We don't do it all yidei goyim when time is of essence because we're scared that maybe someone will be hesitant next time, look for a goy, and not be mechal Shabbos. Therefore, we want it to be clear to everybody that it's mutter to be mechal Shabbos al yidei Yisrael when a time is of essence. If we use a goy, we can make a michshol in the future. So too, we're going to start hooking up all the patients which have a sakana on Yom Kippur. If you hook them up to intravenous, so then we can end up with a problem in the future. People will think you have to do like that, and it will come lidei sakana. So therefore, Shlomo Zalman says that is not the correct thing to do. And Ramesha says that there's even an aspect of sakana because we should not play around with a patient which is weak. In another tshuva, Ramesha was asked, what happens if you have a patient? And this patient is a chayla sheyesh b'sakana, and therefore it's mutter for him to go ahead and to eat on Yom Kippur. However, if we give him injections on Erev Yom Kippur, those injections, we give him some medicine on Erev Yom Kippur, so that medicine will go inside his body, and because of the medicine, he will now be able to fast on Yom Kippur. Is one required to give him the medicine, the injections on Erev Yom Kippur, in order to allow him to fast on Yom Kippur? Now, that's a different shayla we've been discussing till now, because till now we've been discussing giving him nutrition. Over here, we're discussing giving him a medicine. We know that the Torah allows doctors to give medicine. We learn now from a pasuk, v'rapa yirape, mikan shnitin rishus, l'roife l'rapais, that a doctor is allowed to use the chachma of medicine to heal patients. The question is, may this chachma also be used in order to allow a person to do the mitzvah of fasting on Yom Kippur. And Rav Moshe is, again, unhappy with this plan of action. And Rav Moshe says that we were given from the Torah the right to heal patients. Although HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes the person sick, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us rishus to intervene and to administer medicine. In the words of Tosfos, even though one might think that healing a patient is kesoiser gzeiras hamelach, we're contradicting the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Torah allows us to do so. However, Dr. Moshe, the Torah allowed us to heal sick patients. We don't find that the Torah allows us to go ahead and administer their medicine in order for a person to mekayim mitzvahs that he's otherwise potter from and otherwise he would not be required to do. The Torah allows us to give medicine to heal people. We don't have a makar that the Torah allows us to give medicine in order for the person to go ahead and do mitzvahs. Therefore, Rav Moshe says it would be an incorrect thing to do, to give the patient medicine in order for him to fast. And Rav Moshe goes further and he says that since it's incorrect, then we have to be worried that it is chavolo ba'atzmai, that we're injuring the patient, we're making him bleed, for a reason which is not recognized in halacha. Because to give chavol to a patient to heal him, for medicine purposes, to give injections, that we have a pasuk, that even though you're not allowed to be chayvel in a yid, you're not allowed to make a yid bleed, you're not allowed to hurt another Jew, or even oneself, but for refuah purposes, it's mutter. However, to go ahead and to do chavala, in order for a person to be able to do mitzvahs, that we do not have a makar, and therefore, Ramesha Tainas, that it will be usher to give the injections because of Chavala. So we're holding so far that basically a Chayla is not required to go on intravenous in order to fast on Yom Kippur. According to Ramesha, he's not allowed to. And even to take injections in Erev Yom Kippur for a Chayla that would make him able to fast. Also, according to Rav Moshe, one is not allowed to take those injections in order to be mekayim the mitzvah of fast on Yom Kippur. Rather, he should not take those injections, and he should not fast on Yom Kippur. We do not have a heter to administer medicine in order for a person to be mekayim mitzvahs. I just wanted to mention parenthetically that Rav Zilberstein in Shabbos HaBosan asks that we do find other reasons where it's mutter for a person to be chayvel ba'atzmai, besides for refuah. For example, it's clear in the Gemara on Shabbos that women are allowed to get earrings, even though there's a chavala involved in piercing the ears. But what is allowed to be chayvel ba'atzmai in order to get that yofi, that beautification that the earrings provide? So Rav Zilberstein asks, so what's the difference? If one is allowed to be chayvel ba'atzmai for any constructive manner, in other words, even for a beauty purpose, so why would a person not be allowed to be chayvel ba'atzmai in order to be mekayim the mitzvah of fasting on Yom Kippur? And the emphasis says that Rav Moshe has several tshuvas about being chayvel ba'atzmai. He talks about diets, he talks about donating blood, he talks about cosmetic surgery, and in each case, one has to examine whether there is an issue of chayvel when a person is inflicting pain in himself or making the body bleed, whether or not this pain is a problem of chayvel ba'atzmai when the Torah allows it and when does the Torah not allow it.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To sign up for the Halacha Center's weekly interactive e-journal, please email subscribe to info@thehalachacenter.org.